Shane Lowry, how are you keeping?
I'm good, thanks. Well, I'm as good as I can be.
Golf Weekly, exclusively available on Patreon. Sign up now at otbsports.com/golfweekly.
The OTB Podcast Network.
The Women's Six Nations Show on OTB Sports.
In association with Guinness, hashtag never settle. Drink responsibly, visit drinkaware.ie.
Hello and welcome to the Women's Six Nations Show on OTB Sports in association with Guinness. The Guinness are the official beer partner to Irish rugby team. Now, I'm Valerie Wheeler, and this week and over the next couple of weeks, we will be joined by great guests to discuss Ireland's Six Nations campaign. And this week, I'm joined by former Sevens player Louise Galvin, and I'm joined by former Grand Slam head coach, former head coach winning Ireland, of course, that is Philip Doyle. Louise, Philip, welcome to the show.
Hi,
how are you? Valerie.
It's great to have
Thanks
you.
For having us.
We're all getting very excited. We're only a few hours away, but we should mention that this year there will be, you know, a new format for 2021. So we will explain that first. That the teams are into two pools, Pool A and Pool B, and they'll all get a chance to play each other. And then on April 24th, there will be, of course, a finals day, and whoever is top of Pool A will play top of Pool B, and second, and so on and so forth. In Pool A is England, Italy, and Scotland, and in Pool B is where Ireland are, and they're joined by Wales and France. So they did get underway last weekend, and we did see England give Scotland a hammering, and of course France trumped Wales. Ireland are getting their chance to shine this weekend at 5 p.m. in Cardiff Arms Park. They're away to Wales. But Louise, first of all, the new format, it seems to be a lot of pros, but let's start with the first big pro, which is a window of its own and an opportunity for it to shine.
Yeah, it is exactly. And certainly this week, I would have seen a lot of media focus, even such as a show such as today from Off the Ball, that are focusing purely on the women's game. Obviously, in the usual calendar of Six Nations, you're fighting for the column inches along with the men and the under-20s. So that is one benefit of having the matches on at this time of year, is that you're getting that window of our own kind of opportunity. And even from a domestic rugby point of view, you know, Leinster are playing around the same time on Saturday, unfortunately. But Munster knocked out last weekend. For a lot of rugby fans, we don't have the Rainbow Cup up and starting yet, you know, for a chance to tune into some rugby. I hope they will be tuning in at 5 o'clock on Saturday to watch our girls take on Wales.
Yeah, I mean, Philip, it is great, the new format. A lot of people are not fans of it, though. They don't want to see it return. But for you yourself, do you like the format?
Yeah, I'm actually very encouraged by it. The new format, it's a one-off this year. So that's let's see how it goes. But I would like to see it going back to its traditional five games, etc. I think the time of year, it's been talked about for the last couple of years, moving the women's out of it, giving it their own identity. I think for me is you're going to have better weather conditions. And if anything, it's going to be a benefit to the women's game, where we will see better skill levels from teams, especially the Irish. So for me, I think it's a great idea. And get away. I've always felt that we're always under the wing of the men. Let's get away, set our own identity and possibly attracting better sponsors.
Yeah, Louise, you mentioned the coverage of it, and I know for the first time ever, Fox in the US will be giving it its platform, which is amazing to see. I think 100 million households now will get the opportunity to watch this Six Nations campaign.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And like, as Philip says, actually just to reiterate his point, certainly I'd be much more looking forward to playing in this sort of weather than through maybe a few mud baths earlier in the year. We all know the images of the last time Ireland played Wales in the torrential rain in Donnybrook, I suppose over, what was it, about 14 months ago now at this stage. So definitely the time of year is a plus as well. But I'd also agree with Philip that five games, I mean, as a player, you want games, and you'll always take five games over three games. So I think that it's important that when we look at some of the pros, one of the cons would be the fact that the girls are now down to three games in a four-weekend window. So that's definitely a con. But as you say, like the fact that USA, which is certainly a growing rugby nation, both in 15s and 7s, that they're beginning to show it is a positive. You know, we always talk about the extra media exposure. It's important for us here in Ireland, but also globally, if we're trying to grow the game, which we know World Rugby has set women's rugby as, I suppose, a major goal, is that they're trying to grow the game from a strategic point of view, and they've stated that. So this is something else to help increase that visibility across the world.
Philip, is that the only con, having less games?
Sorry, say again?
Is having less games the only con to the format for the year?
Yeah, for me it is. There's one or two small things about, like, club games. If the games were to go in this time of year, what happens to the domestic side? It's the business end of their season. How does that format, do they have to move as well? Because the last thing you don't want is having domestic games on the exact same time as the main international team playing. That's just a big no-no to me. So, like, you want people to travel to come see the women play. And also, maybe sevens players, this time of year, sevens really gets going. So when the sevens leave this particular squad, will they come back at this time of year? So all those kind of questions have to be answered. But look, I give it a try. Why not? Let's see how it goes for a year or two. Financially, let's see how that goes. Like, it's such a key point. Like, we need the money coming into the women's game, attracting different people now. So let's give it a try.
Yeah, I think it'll be a strange campaign. You know, we're still in the middle of a pandemic. And Louise, I know a lot of people might say that the pandemic will have an effect on it. You know, no fans, no one in the stadium. We know what Donnybrook is like when it's full of fans.
Yeah, well, look, I think every player will say to you that they're always focusing on what's on the field. But at the same time, whenever you think back of a particular game that went well, you think back to the atmosphere, particularly that might have been created by the crowd or by having family there and having that support. Then at the other side, Valerie, like, we've just seen an incredible Six Nations campaign from the men with not a single fan in the stadia. And we all certainly more than enjoyed that. I mean, how many games and right down to the wire. So even from watching from TV, you could get a sense of the excitement that the international test rugby can create. And I'd listen, for some of those girls haven't played in 6 months, 13 months for those that maybe were injured or not selected against Italy in October, they won't care who's there once they can take to the field and put on that green jersey.
Yeah, I think lack of game time seems to be a major focus that people are zooming in on heading into the game. But during the week at the RFU conference, Aoife McDermott didn't seem to think it mattered to them, really. Let's take a listen.
It's not a major concern. I think training has been going really well. We've been incredibly sharp. I think we're the fittest. It's not a major concern. I think training has been going really well. We've been incredibly sharp. I think we're the fittest, strongest, fastest, you know, we've ever been. I think we've come a huge way in the last 12 months. So, Wales have had a game, but, you know, we now have that opportunity to see what they're about, analyse them.
And, okay, we will get to maybe Aoife McDermott, you know, just a little bit. But what she basically said, Philip, was that they didn't seem too concerned. They're extremely confident heading into this game, and game time isn't really a factor, which is, it's lovely to see, but sometimes it can be quite alarming if players are that confident heading into a game.
Yeah, it's a worry if they're that confident. It is undoubtedly, myself and Louise were talking earlier that off air, that it's going to pay, that the first 20 minutes, half an hour, are going to be lung bursting. I know they've had some internal matches, but that's nothing compared to what a full international is like. They are going to suffer for the first 20 minutes, half an hour. I like her enthusiasm. Let's hope they start well, but it is going to be very, very tough mentally, physically. It's just, When they get out there, it is going to be so tough to just, all the build-up, all the hype, the amount of time not played, and by the time they get there, they're going to be exhausted. And just getting onto the pitch, it's such a build-up. So, but they'll settle down eventually. I'm sure Adam's going to have them in good steadle to try and keep all the emotions down and get them well prepared for it.
Yeah, nothing prepares you like game time. I know, Louise, their last game for some of them was in October against Italy, and some of them previous was March. That's a full whole year for a lot of players.
Yeah, and I suppose that's where Wales will have an advantage coming into this weekend. I know they shipped a heavy defeat against France, but still they've a game under their belt, and they've gotten a lot of that kind of, I suppose, early in the championship nerves that Goose just referred to there. They have a lot of that kind of out of their system because they've taken to the field now. Whereas Ireland, Look, they've reported 20 camps together. It's quite a tight-knit group. There's a lot of enthusiasm there. There's some good leaders there. And I think, you know, it's entering into a good stage for the squad. But certainly for the 15 that take the field, the first kind of 20 minutes or so, look, I'm expecting they might see a few uncharacteristic errors almost out of overzealous kind of I suppose commitment to from some of the girls. And I think as well there's been a huge competition for places, so those that have gotten the jersey are going to want to put their best foot forward straight away. But once the first 15-20 minutes settles down, I think we'll see Ireland develop into a good pattern of play and get their defensive system set. They've spoken ad lib about how they've used these 20 camps to try and get I suppose the preparation and the fine-tuning of all the different, I suppose, nuts and bolts to iron them out. So they're going to really want to put them to use when they actually take the field on Saturday.
Yeah, let's say.
I think it's really important that if you let Wales come in at you from the start, they're going to dig into you and you're going to get into an arm wrestle with them. The last thing we need is to get into that arm wrestle. We have to start incredibly physically and really be dominant in the tackle and the breakdown area. And just, if you can just weather that storm for the first 20 minutes, put doubt into the Wales defence, things will settle down rather quickly. But if you let them in, you could be in for a long afternoon.
Yeah, I did mention that we had Aoife McDermott. Let's take a listen to that clip now.
It's not a major concern. I think training has been going really well. We've been incredibly sharp. I think we're the fittest, strongest, fastest, you know, we've ever been. I think we've come a huge way in the last 12 months. Wales have had a game, but, you know, we now have that opportunity to see what they're about, analyse them and, you know, maybe stop some of their threats and stuff. Whereas they haven't seen us play in a while. So hopefully we'll be able to catch them on the hop now on Saturday. So we're just excited to go, and we're not really taking it as a factor. I think most teams are in the same position. They only have one game up on us. It's not a huge amount that's going to have a massive impact. So I think we'll be able to overcome that on Saturday.
That's Aoife McDermott chatting there. Extremely confident, and rightly so. I think that's a nice way to go into it. But Philip, a week into the Six Nations, and what are your feels? What are your excitements level like, you personally, when you were involved?
Oh, listen, it's a fantastic time of year. I remember coming up, like, we'd be planning all year, but, like, for me, I think the best time was actually the camps, because that's where everybody bonded, get your team spirit going. We used to have, like, 3-4 weekends on the trot leading up to the competition itself. And you kind of live in your own little bubble. And there's no really outside pressures coming in until, obviously, the week of, and then the week of it really starts building up. The actual matches themselves come so thick and fast. You don't have a lot of time in between. It's all just wham, bam. Like, you've got to prepare, you've got to play, and then you've got to review. And literally, we only had an hour's review when we brought the girls back in on the Friday to play on the Saturday. But that's the excitement of it all. So all I remember is major, major pressure, but all good. It's just where you want to be at that level. It's a fantastic feeling.
Louise, and with yourself, maybe 2 days out from playing a Six Nations game, what was it like in your household?
Yeah, I suppose for me, it was a bit of a different situation. I was lucky enough to have been part of a few Six Nations panels, but coming across from Sevens, and I know we'll probably touch base on the players that have been brought into the squad as well later on, but coming across from Sevens, it was nice to come into an environment where you're building up towards one game, because Sevens is just so frantic and hectic, and you're just spend the day before the tournament eating all day, and then the games fly by and you have to park them and move on to the next game. Whereas here it was like, okay, we have a Sunday 1 o'clock kickoff, you can actually, and you're coming into camp maybe Thursday, even Friday, you can actually really settle down and you're focusing in on one team. It's a lot more kind of calm and relaxed in one way. And the fact then that we're obviously playing at home, which we didn't really get to do very often with Sevens as well, often, you know, getting to play at home, there's a real excitement with that, and that, you know, people are actually going to come up and attend the game. Whereas a lot of the time for my family, I used to be playing in different time zones. So there's definitely a lot of excitement and a real buzz around the Six Nations on that kind of, on that whole weekend. And much like, you know, you said, with the build up in the in the build-up that you have those weekends back-to-back training with each other, with just the squad and management, you do become, like, you know, the bubble is quite quite parlance that we use at the moment with COVID, but that was like a bubble before there was any COVID, because, you know, players, obviously they're amateurs, so you're working as well during the week, but coming in on a Friday, junior camps, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and your sole focus for everyone was just to get prepared for the Six Nations. Yeah, it was really exciting.
Yeah, and you did touch on, of course, the sevens players coming in, and there is five uncapped players that are making way into the team. Philip, what's it like? I know maybe trying to gel those together with the sevens and the 15s, they're two very different games.
Yes, two completely different games in my point of view. I do think the skill set is like the tackle, the pass, decision making is all the exact same. So the great thing about this group coming in is that they've had 20 camps together. So COVID, in a way, has really benefited this squad for this tournament. So they're not like dropping in and coming back out again. So I believe the mood in the camp is excellent, and that bodes well for a great Six Nations.
Louise, what was it like for you as a player heading into the 15s? You know, did you feel that you were maybe going to take someone else's jersey? Were you, you know, did you feel that kind of feeling, or was it very welcoming?
Again, like any time you have an opportunity to put on an Irish jersey or come and hopefully help out the team, you're excited and you're really, really looking forward to that. And I have to say, the team are always very welcoming. But I guess for me personally, you do want to start with the team from pre-season and work all the way through, because that's how you build that off the field bond and that connection that's so important in rugby, because you need to make sure the person inside and outside you, you know, that they'd pretty much take a hit for you or help you make up for your mistakes. There's no denying, I suppose, the application of the athletes, whether they're sevens or 15s or the skill level. It's just that familiarity. And at times it was difficult because you could be flying back from a sevens tournament. You're sore and you're tired, and then you're trying to bring all this energy into 15s camp, which you feel very lucky to have the opportunity maybe to come into. But you're trying to catch up on plays and trying to catch up on processes and defensive systems that you can't really think about when you're in the middle of a seven season, because you have to focus on that job. So there was an air of difficulty there, but Goose is exactly right. Never have the sevens players been so immersed within the 15 squad, the ones that have come in. And I know we mentioned the uncapped players, but even some of the girls, like Hannah Tyrrell, who's just recently retired from sevens, and, you know, Katie Fitzhenry, Dorothy Wall, that have been capped, even, you know, that they've had that prolonged time now at 15s, because sevens tournaments haven't been happening, it's certainly going to benefit, well, both the 15s and sevens game, because it means the sevens girls that have gone in are actually getting competitive rugby as opposed to just training week in, week out, and getting much more used to the systems and the processes and just gelling as a team on and off the field, because it's, you just can't, nothing you can do can really buy that, I suppose, that cohesiveness, besides just spending time together, whether it be on the field, walk into the pitches, coming off the field, going through the analysis, getting to know how your teammates tick, getting to know how they like their communication, all that stuff. No level of skill, I suppose, that you garner on a different team can make up for not having that, if that makes sense. So it's definitely a positive that they probably haven't been in for all the 20 camps, but they've been in for an awful lot of them, and putting their hand forward. And it's made it really, really competitive as well.
Yeah, I also think that maybe later in the year, it's going to be really positive that when we come to the World Cup qualifiers, which are expected in September, I believe, that these girls can come back in and seamlessly fit back into the squad, hopefully, because they've spent so much time. They know everybody's personalities. They know everybody's quirks. And so that really bodes well for that qualification, World Cup qualification process.
Louise, what about all this talk about Amy Murphy-Crowe? You know, a lot of pressure might be on her shoulders after everyone was talking so highly of her during the week. She seems to be a trying machine.
Yeah, and look, I hope Amy, but if we see her this weekend, I'd be delighted, but I certainly hope we'll see her over the coming weekends. I've been very lucky to have shared the field with her on numerous occasions, and for me, she's just a fantastic individual and a fantastic player. She's super speed, but that's not just what Amy Lee is. She's so much more than that. She's the type of player, almost like in a Keith Earls light, who would You know, if there's an intercept and she's on the opposite wing, I'd back her to pull down the attacking winger on the 5 meter line as they're about to score a try. She just never gives up. She's a great little tackler. She has all the skills in the game. Look, it'll be different. She'll be a back three player, a winger. You do have to add in some elements that we don't use as much in sevens, such as a kicking game and that kind of position awareness. So as much as I have huge faith on Amy, I don't think we need to, you know, she'll come with a high, I suppose, target on her back as well when she does take the field from a lot of the other teams, like France will certainly know her from sevens and Wales this weekend as well if she does play. So I think, you know, it's like Goose is saying, let them bed into the team. And then when they're comfortable with all the processes and the systems, she's someone that I'd certainly think could turn the field alight. And I'd love to see a backline at one stage with Bavin Parsons on one wing and Amy Lee on the other wing, because I think we'd have serious firepower. And if we can, as Goose says, start to win that physical battle up front and try to get a bit of foothold in their territory and get front foot ball, then I think we need to start using our backline a bit more than we have in previous seasons. I see you nodding there, Goose. Are you agreeing with me?
Totally. Yeah.
You're the coach, but as a back, I'm like, shift it.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. I think the Irish team have to start playing a little bit wider than they have been, more consistently, for sure. But I'm sure we'll get to the tactical side of things in a while.
Of course we will. But I think Louise just touched on her as well as 19-year-old Bavin Parsons, you know, another woman that takes in her stride, Philip, and doesn't seem to let anything bother her heading into this at 16 years of age.
Yeah, I first saw her play for Connacht at under-18s when I was coaching Ulster, I think it was. And oh my God, she just blew me away. And next year, literally a couple months later, she was playing for Ireland. Yeah, she's exciting. I still think she's still got a little bit to learn. But I think the best thing is that we get the ball in our hands. And how we're going to do that is, for me, we've got to stop clogging up the centre of the pitch a little bit more. Use our back row a little bit more to try and get that free-flowing game into it. Quick rucks and get that ball. Just get that ball out through the centres. You know, I do think, I'm not trying to be critical here, but I think Sene... We all know what Sene does. You know, Sene just dummies and goes too much. She takes too much ball on, as far as I'm concerned. And maybe just a little bit less of that. Yes, use her where we need to use her to get strike plays, but then let's get that ball out of wider channels. And hopefully Considine as well. Like, it'd just be great. Herself and the Considine linking together is going to be exceptional.
Is there anyone else we should be looking out for, Louise, this weekend?
Yeah, well, I think we've mentioned obviously the back three players there. I think Enya Breen at 13, if she is playing, I know we don't have our team yet at the moment, but I think Enya is a real precocious talent, and she's someone who at the start of last year's Six Nations picked up an ankle injury, which meant she wasn't, she probably didn't get as much game time as we would have hoped. But look, she's a big, strong ball carrier. She can pass the ball well. She can, you know, offload out the back. She's a great defensive player, excellent tackle technique. I'm looking forward to seeing Enya as well, and presuming or hoping that she starts. Obviously, we're not privy to what the starting team is. And that's the thing, you know, they've had 20 camps. We've had no games. So we're kind of surmising on what it might be. But, you know, we could be completely wrong.
Philip, they are a very young side. I was looking at their date of births the other day and I thought, I know I'm not exactly old as the hills myself, but when I saw 2003 and 99 and 2000 on some of their dates, I was just shocked to see how young they were. But there is a mix of young and we have some experience as well.
Yeah, look, and that's really key, and that's key to a very successful team. Young and very experienced, like we've Claire Malloy, I think going for her 70th cap. Captain, you know, Kira Griffin going for her 30, she's in the 30s now, caps, not age. And, but yeah, so having that mix is fantastic. The great thing about the young players is their skill level has drastically improved. And I think they're going to have that confidence about their game. And if they bring that in, and having the elder ladies out there just giving them a little bit of guidance, there's absolutely no reason why we can't do very well here and play a nice style of rugby, which is most important.
I think something that was very evident last weekend was the professional and the semi-professional getting the better results during the week. Catherine Dean was asked about it. Let's take a listen to Catherine.
I'm not too concerned again. I'm just worrying on ourselves, worrying about ourselves and what we can do. And there, if you've been great and given us the resources that, that we need to perform at the minute. So, you know, the picture might change in a couple of years, and we could be kind of operating out of that semi-professional or professional level like England and France. But the time being, we're doing great with what we've got. So, yeah, it's not too much of a concern for us right now.
That's Catherine Dean saying it's not too much of a concern for them. But Philip, what do you think, especially after last weekend's results?
It's a worry for me going forward that England are just going to pull away too far from us. We all know that the girls put in absolutely massive amount of work into this, but you can't account for full professional players coming up against them. They will struggle. The game is moving on. It's moving on at a great pace off the pitch. Competitions, you just heard about the new WXV competition going to run in 2023. So there's a lot going on. But the unions are going to have to just get behind the girls as much as possible from a financial point of view. I know it's incredibly hard right now, but in the coming years, it is going to be, the gap is going to get wider, unfortunately. The girls are doing everything they can, but you can't account for that. France are semi-professional. Like I coached Scotland last year. 9 of our squad are professional now with contracts. And you're already starting to see the roots of their work coming through. I know they got well beaten by England, but there's definitely stuff. You can see the difference in the players. So I think we're in trouble in this one aspect of it, but let's hope it changes rather soon, because the girls just can't keep going the way they're going. It's impossible.
Yeah, I mean, Louise, Philip mentioned there that Scotland have 9 contracts. That it's a start, but we'd love something similar here in Ireland. And of course, the girls love to be professional.
Yeah, and, you know, absolutely. But I think we all heard like the RFU shipping 20 job losses yesterday as well. I'm not saying that's a reason why we shouldn't be professional, but it's certainly challenging times. Whether you go back to World Rugby, who have again stated in their strategic plan that a major focus for the next period of time is women's rugby. Now that was all just, I suppose, pre-COVID, but they've still stated that developing the women's game globally is a massive target. And they have these tournaments that are, that I suppose, the World 15 global calendar that they've released. But I suppose, at the same time, they have to make sure they're investing within the unions and make sure that it's not just the stronger getting stronger and the weaker getting weaker. I suppose from the Irish point of view, like I'm someone who's come from the 7th professional program or where we were semi-professional/professional, and we have a younger demographic within that team, and that's probably why we survived, because financially professional, very much professional in application and nature and support systems and resources, much like Catherine has said, like that, you know, the girls are getting access to the best in terms of the HBC. But it's not something you would be paying a mortgage on. And with the 15 squad, it is, you know, I suppose, surmising that it would be a similar contract type basis. I'd imagine the 15 squad would be going on if we were going down that route. Well, and you're talking about a lot more players as well in the 15 squad. It tends to be an older demographic playing 15s. So, you know, if you did offer someone, we can go professional, but you'll do it on, you know, whatever, less than 20k a year, then how many players would actually give up their job to do that? I'm not actually quite sure. So if that is the offer on the table at the moment, you know, it's not professional in terms of what the men are getting. We'll put it to that level. I think the English RFU have different levels of funding. And I think another thing we need to look at besides professionalism is the domestic game. And Goose, I'm not sure how you feel about this, but like the English club system is so much stronger than what we have here. The French club system is so much stronger. And at the moment, our domestic seasons have just been cut. So fair enough, the Irish women's 15 squad at the moment are getting really good exposure to camps. But let's say we'd 5 players injured at the moment. well, where are they going to get the next five players to replace them when no one's playing rugby in the country? There's no games, AIL games to go and watch to see younger players being developed. There's no underage games happening. So that's certainly a level of concern that right now we could be losing another generation of female rugby players because of COVID, because there's no domestic games happening. And I know there's no domestic games happening in men either, but at least they have the provinces, provincial systems. That's another cause for concern.
Yeah, I think Philip was agreeing with you there. I could see you nodding your head, Philip, about maybe there's another Maven Parsons out there that we don't know about.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, look, it's incredibly hard. It is a worry from, as you said, Louise, we could easily be losing a crop of players with the loss of this year. And also the existing players, like, where are they now with their skill levels and et cetera? Like, it's going to be a mountain to climb for the next year, 18 months, getting these players, domestic players, back up to speed. And hopefully we haven't lost a huge amount of players from our group. But there's not a lot we can do about it. But the RFU, again, are going to have to really roll in behind the domestic scene when this all kicks back, when we get back to playing rugby. Because it's not, we're all volunteers out there in clubland. But I think they're going to need a lot of help, a lot. Help, especially from the branches.
All right, you are listening to the Women's Six Nations Show on OTV Sports in association with Guinness. They are the official beer to the Irish rugby team. Now we're going to look ahead to this weekend's game. Ireland are finally getting a chance to shine. They're away to Wales at 5 p.m. in Cardiff Arms Park. Louise, I know the past Six Nations, you know, 3 out of 4 wins, 1 game cancelled. We haven't seen much of Ireland. That's very difficult for, I suppose, us looking on, but then themselves know what's happening inside the camp.
So, Wales are always tough for us, and the Welsh team that went down to France, they would be a lot more confident playing Ireland at home than going playing France away. And as Goose said, you know, if they get stuck in the first 20 minutes, they're going to try and make it an arm wrestle. They're certainly not going to be backing down and just giving Ireland an easy win. From the Irish point of view, though, we really need to look at this. And I think coming into 20 minutes to go, we'd want to be, you know, a comfortable win within sight. Having said that, I think what Goose mentioned earlier about tactically, you know, we'll take a win if we see some nice changes in processes and how we play. So trying to get the ball out wide and involve our backline a little bit more would be important as well. But overall, even though, you know, it's always a tight battle, we need to weather the storm for the first 20 minutes and to make sure we get a win over in Wales. But it won't be easy because Wales will have no fear of this Irish squad coming over.
No, they won't, Philip. I know the style of play of Ireland. What are we going to expect from Ireland this weekend?
Set piece. Like everything revolves around our set piece. So I take it we're going to have Aoife McDermott in the second row, and I would say more than likely Nicola Friday as well. Two good second rows. A little bit worrying that there's no one in behind them. We got a few injuries there, but set piece, like if we can dominate the line out, Wales are not tall. So I fully expect us to win absolutely everything, including a lot of their ball. If we can just get our set piece right, especially the first 20 minutes, we always love a good maul. Absolutely. Get into the field position, hopefully, and I hope Hannah Tyrrell's playing 10. There's been way too much change in that position for my liking. Let's stick with Hannah. I thought she did very well the last time in the outing in November. So let's hopefully stick with her. She's got a decent boot on her. Let's play just field position for the first 20, half an hour. Bring in the maul a little bit. Work off our set piece. And then let's just, when it's right, let's just play that wide. Let's play that 13 channel all day long. Let's see these fantastic players. Considine, Enya Breen, possibly. Aoife Higgins, I think, will actually hopefully come in. Let's see what she's made of. Hopefully she'll come in at some stage. And obviously Bevan Parsons, like, it's too good a back three, no matter what combination you have, not to play the 13 channel. So let the fours do with the rump, and then let's play wide.
Louise, can these players exploit Wales after seeing them last weekend? Have Ireland that bit of an advantage now after seeing four teams play last weekend?
Yeah, they'd have an advantage of watching Wales and being able to analyse, I suppose, their set piece as well. As I say, Wales have the advantage of having that first game under their belt in such a long period of time. But the girls can absolutely take advantage, and I expect them to very much do so. And just like Philip said, it's a simple enough game once you're getting gain line and you match their physicality. And absolutely, I think we need to start shifting that ball out wide. And, you know, early doors, because players will have been so nervous not having played in so long, I think early doors, we need everyone getting a little bit of piece of the ball, maybe encouraging, if not, then our wings are coming in off the wing and getting involved in the game, or back three players, so that they're, you know, feel part of it, or feel like they're involved in the game some way. And then just, we don't need, you know, super, I suppose, individual moments. We just need to get our set piece right, kick the line, get our line out working, get our maul working. And as I say, once we get that front football, then unleash our back line.
Yeah. Like you saw Wales last week capitulate horribly, when only because France put them under massive pressure from a defensive point of view. They really had great line speed. And I would imagine that Ireland are going to do the same. Very, very good line speed. As many people as they can on their feet at any one time. Yes, you'll see a two-man tackle, one low, one high. But get that player back on her feet as quickly as possible. And then just kill them with line speed. I don't think Wales are good enough skill-wise to really bother us if we have that all-important integrity in the line and line speed. I think they'll just will crush them. I really do.
And I think the way Griggs has been defensively, I suppose he's defensive pattern has been to, you know, 13 in the line and your wings shooting up hard, and that'll really put the Welsh team under pressure. Like again, someone like an English team where you have Emily Scarrett who can skip pass out to the Jess Breach, it's a little bit more difficult to defend against that. But I expect Ireland to really put, like you say, that Welsh skill set under pressure and not giving them any time on the ball.
Yeah.
Philip, were Wales really bad last week, or just France miles above the rest?
A little bit of both, stating the obvious. France were exceptional. They really were. Their offloading game, and they just were at six and sevens. Wales just didn't know what to do. But I think Wales are pretty weak. They're very weak, but again, if you give them any kind of time, space on the ball, they'll cut you in two, because they'll get their tails up and they'll sniff. I think, was it 18 months ago that we had them in the UCD Bowl? Ireland were 12 points up with 10 minutes to go, and they beat us last move of the game. That's how dangerous Wales are. Like, when I was coaching Ireland, we only won twice over there. It is an incredibly hard place to go, simply because they have that they have raw passion. So we go back to the same. You've got to stamp your authority on the game so early. And if you can do that and keep them down, don't let them back into the game. But I do think they are. They're not a great side. One positive that they have is they have a good scrum. And if you're not concentrating, they'll drive you off the scrum. They drove France last week off their scrum out of nowhere. They did it in the autumn as well. So the Irish are going to have to stick that scrum pretty low and be concentrated at all times, or else we will get nipped. So be careful of that.
I was going to ask you, Louise, was there a positive to Wales last week? Is there any more positives, or would you agree in the fact that maybe France were just better than them?
Well, yeah, France is certainly better. They were joué. And again, it shows the depth that France have from such a strong club system, because like they originally, when they had named Six Nations squad, they had some of their sevens players immersed, but they were all actually in Dubai playing last weekend. So they didn't even have any of their sevens contracted players. And yes, that shows just the depth that they have. They didn't look like they were missing them. But Wales, yeah, look, I think they were a beaten docket early on. Once Bouchard, you know, she came up with a hat-trick, they were done and dusted. But the positive that they have is that they'll have a lot of immense pride. And playing at home against Ireland, they're not just going to roll over.
Yeah, and they're also missing Is it Joyce off the wing?
Yeah, Jazz Joyce is with GB Sevens, preparing for the Olympics. So that's a huge loss because she's certainly their most dangerous backline player, and she can make something happen out of nothing. So that's a positive for Ireland as well.
Yeah.
We want to see results this weekend. Philip, for you, I mean, is it Ireland's for the taking?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yes, but I know the coaching staff are just going to be going on performance, and that's what they have to do, because, yes, this is important, Six Nations, every match is important, but it's the whole year that they're looking at. They're looking at the World Cup qualifiers. So they just want to see a performance that they can grow on as well as win. But, yeah, it's absolutely there for the taking. I would personally take a win. I don't care what the scoreline is. I'll be totally looking at the performance, though.
Louise, and for yourself?
Yeah, it's similar enough in that I would take a win where maybe, you know, if, for example, we were trying to play the right way and take opportunities and we cough up a few opportunities because the ball doesn't go to hand, but we're trying something and making the right decisions, then that's, and obviously getting the win first and foremost, then I would take that performance, and there are things you can fine tune and maybe put down to the lack of game time. So what I wouldn't like, you know, is we just get a win by a try and it's all just one out runners and, you know, backs are getting cold out in the wing. So what we want to see is them using the skills that we have, and I do expect them to do that.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to seeing Hannah Tyrrell getting 80 minutes under her belt, developing her game as 10, all for the future. Again, going into the World Cup qualifiers at the end of the year. This time for her is so, so important. And let's see if she can develop her game management skills and her decision-making from there, one step at a time. But I think she is key. She is absolutely key for this Six Nations and key going forward.
Well, look,
and even with that as well, having our nine has changed a little bit around. So it looks like Catherine Dane has that spot nailed on coming into the Six Nations. Again, we could all be, I could be, you know, going back on that in a few hours, but it's good to have, we certainly a settled nine and 10, and I think Hannah did well against Italy. And we have to remember, like, Hannah doesn't have a lot of 10 experience, even at club level, just the way playing sevens, and would have played a lot more in the back three when she did play club and international 15s. So she does need that opportunity. And I think whoever Adam Griggs is going to go with, he needs to give them that consistent exposure at that level in both games that you're trying to win, games that are close, games that you're on the back foot of a retreating pack line. So, you know, Hannah definitely deserves the opportunity based on her performance against Italy. And I think whoever he is, if he's back in Hannah, give her that consistency over the next few games.
Well, we're really looking forward to the game. It's a 5 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday evening, of course. Ireland are playing Wales in Cardiff Arms Park. You have been listening to the Women's Six Nations show on OTB Sports in association with Guinness. They're the official beer of the Irish rugby team. Thank you to Louise Galvin and Philip Doyle there. And I'll be back next week. We'll take a look back at Wales, and we're going to take a look ahead, of course, of Ireland's game against France.
The Women's Six Nations show on OTB Sports.
In association with Guinness, drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie. That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.